All right, guys, welcome to this week's game chat, where we are discussing Little Nightmares. This week, we are just talking about the plain game, just the vanilla game. Next week, we're talking about three DLCs because they're based on a different character that we actually saw in the game. But anyways, so we'll go ahead and start with intros. So I want you guys to tell us your name, as for those, you know, listening, and as well as the, if you, because our main character, Six, wears this lovely yellow raincoat throughout the entire game that I'm so jealous of. But if you had a raincoat, what color would you want it to be? Starting at the top.
All right, this is Franco, and I have don't have a raincoat per se, but I have a red rain poncho. Ooh. For sporting events, and don't ask me to put my hands on it right now, but it's somewhere in my house.
Okay.
Next. Hey, this is Jonathan. And I mean, if we're talking about, like, if we could have any raincoat, we'd
any
ever...
Any raincoat.
Like, if we could have any raincoat,
yeah.
I'd want it to be, like, rainbowish, kind of like in Back to Future Part 2, you know, Marty flies hat in that, you know, how it was, like...
Yeah. Yeah,
holographic rainbow.
There's a name just for a that. Whole, but yeah.
Like a whole just rain jacket of that.
Yeah. Very prismatic. I don't know. Next.
This is Kevin. And if I had a raincoat, because I don't really have a raincoat, I'd want it to be like a dark purple color.
Ooh. Nice. Next.
This is Chris. I don't know. I think the only thing I would really care about is whether or not it kept me dry.
True.
But
no,
I think
preference in color?
Maybe clear. I don't know.
Okay, cool. My name is Steph, and if I had a raincoat, I came up with this question. I didn't even stop to think about it myself. I think that I would want it to be like a hunter green. Yeah. A nice kind of darkish grayish green. Yeah, that's it. Okay, well, random. So Little Nightmares, for those listening, Little Nightmares is a game that was developed by Tajir Studios in 2017. I think the most recent, there are three DLCs, which again, we're discussing next week, but the third one was brought out only in February of this year, which seems like not too long ago, but it's almost like it's like a half a year ago now. Time flies. Little Nightmares is about you play Six, who is a little child. It's not like officially revealed if it's male or female. You know, they wear a nice yellow raincoat or jacket. I keep wanting to call it her, but I'm just going to call it her. You control her as she goes throughout this kind of like dark facility. At first, you're not sure what it is. Eventually, you find out you're on a boat. And it's typically considered a horror game. So you know, it's dark, scary, a lot of shadows. You go against these, you know, you come across these creatures. And so you basically play hide and seek because you can't hurt the creatures. You have to sneak around them or run from them or out trick them. So the story progresses. You meet new creatures. Things start happening and it just gets dark from there. So what did you guys, so first let's cover just basic framework. How did you guys like the gameplay, the controls? Do you think that the controls were good, bad, in between?
I thought they were okay. Not great, not terrible. I felt like they were frustrating at times, but I feel like they were purposely frustrated because it's like, you know, you're running away from these monsters.
Yeah.
I felt like it was kind of a, gimmick that, like, oh, you run slowly because...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's to build tension.
Mm, I can see that. Yeah, so, it was interesting how sometimes, like, you were running, and we can talk about that later, too, but you were running, and it wouldn't... The camera would zoom out, so it was hard to... So, like, I remember the first time I played it, like, I kept falling off of platforms, like, when it would zoom out like that, because I couldn't tell where I was at on the platform, and so I would just end up running off of it. Yeah. You were saying something, Chris?
Yeah, I was going to say, so from what little I've played, mm-hmm. it reminds me a lot of Unraveled, in a way.
Oh, yeah, I could see that.
Because it kind of has that same sort of, like, art style, I guess, but yeah. in a, you know, horror setting rather than a... like forest or whatnot type of setting. But still, I mean, I kind of enjoy that type of
mm-hmm.
gameplay. And yes, it mm-hmm. it can get frustrating because I think a lot of times the camera movement can kind mm-hmm. of
yeah.
screw you up with, I want to be here, but the camera moves, so I'm actually over there instead, so I need to readjust there. Yeah. And then some of the stuff is just based on timing mm-hmm. altogether with jumping and, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So
yeah,
if you don't get it just right, it can get frustrating. So.
Mm-hmm.
I found the, because they sometimes gave you prompts for the controls, but I found them to kind of be, I guess, a little bit late in when they gave you the control mm-hmm. The prompts for them.
Yeah, it was almost like. It detected that you were having trouble, so it was like, oh, you need to press this button.
Yes.
Yeah, I think and it's they waited for you to fail.
Yeah. And with the way that some of the controls were, and I guess some of the stuff with the environment wasn't always clear as to what you could do with it. Mm. Like, oh, you can drag certain things, but other things that look like the same type of thing that you can drag, you can't. It kind of, I guess, in a little way, felt like a poor man's Little Big Planet, which kind of works because the studio did work on the mm-hmm. Little Big Planet games. Mm-hmm. So,
did they really?
Yeah,
the DLC and then the PSV version.
I was wondering about that because I noticed that when I was playing it the second time that the prompts came really late, like after I would try to do something for a long time, or like be, and they'd be like, oh, hey, you can sprint, you can do this. And so I was like, well, does it know that I played the game before? Because I didn't remember that happening before, but apparently it did. So I just didn't know if it had like figured out that I had played it before, like because I had overwritten my save, and some games were smart that way. But there were some times that, like, especially like the platform thing didn't bother me that I mentioned before, because like I just took it as part of the difficulty of the game, like because the game's pretty much all about like platforms and jumping from one platform to the other and getting it just right. But crouching to get through things sometimes was a little off, because like I would crouch and then like I wouldn't be right there where I'm supposed to be, like I'd be like maybe like a centimeter off in the, you know, and wouldn't be able to go through, and the long-armed guy would grab me and eat me. And
the janitor.
Yeah, it's I was gonna say, to be honest, when first last week Steph had said platformer, I kind of groaned because I had visions of Ori in the Black Forest, and but this seemed to strike a nice balance
mm-hmm.
With how you interacted with things
mm-hmm.
and your ability to figure things out.
Yeah,
I liked the way things moved. You know, like objects pushing, pulling. Mm-hmm. They had a real
very smooth.
Smooth and real physics to them. Like if you mm-hmm. if you push the briefcase or something, an object off center, it would actually tilt to that side.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, oh, this is pretty impressive. They put some thought into that. And I agree with Steph. It's like if you're running for a mouse hole, or I would call them a mouse hole, or those little crouch holes,
Yeah.
You know, you're moving left to right, but the other plane, you know, of depth isn't quite defined mm-hmm. quite as much as it needed to be.
Yeah.
So you could be crouching, but actually be like 6 inches off the hull and running right in smack into the wall. So that was kind of, sometimes it was a little, but you know, this game is very forgiving when you're with its restarts and, mm-hmm. and checkpoints. So,
Yeah. Yes. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Oh, I was just like, I don't know. I really like the way kind of what Frank was saying about the physics of the objects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cause one of the, like, something I loved is just how Six like interacted with objects. Mm-hmm. Like they were really there.
Yeah.
Like, I think one of the first things they noticed at the very start of the game, you know, you're walking around this room and there's a bunch of tin cans. And like, I walked over them and she actually kind of stumbled over them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, mm-hmm. oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 That, yeah. Those sort of things were nice touches. And I like that there were sometimes just random objects in the room that didn't really have any purpose, just like blocks mm-hmm. or whatever, just to add depth to the room, but then also you could interact with them and pick them up and throw them around and just have fun if you wanted to.
Yeah, a couple times I was like freaked out. I was like, am I going to have to stack these blocks to get up to a height?
Oh, God.
Yeah,
it'd be horrible.
because of a bunch of random stuff that you could like climb on or like pick move up around. And stuff, part of me was thinking like, because I was like focusing on those things, because I was thinking like, oh, this is those kinds of games. This is one of those games that, you know, if something moves, it's there for a purpose.
Oh yeah.
Whereas, that's not the case in a lot of this game. So,
yeah, true.
So it would take me down like a rabbit trail.
Yeah, there was one room especially where, I think that was the first room you kind of came across that had those objects in it. As like it had blocks, it had the train. And it had the seesaw and the merry-go-round of sorts, but there's a name for it that I'm missing. Anyways.
Total Whirl?
Yeah. I don't know. And so it had all those things in it, and I was going to that room, and like the room before had the switch that would turn off the bars to be, you know, that turned off the electricity for the bars so you could go through them. And this room had a bunch of objects in it, and I was like, oh, crap. What am I supposed to do? And I was looking at everything. Mm-hmm. I was looking at the blocks. I was looking at the merry-go-round. I was looking at the train. I was like, okay, maybe I need to stay on top of this train to try and get over there. Maybe I need to. And then, like, I realized, I was like, well, wait a minute. These bars are electrified. The switch is back there, and it went on for a very long time whenever you switched it off. It stayed off for a while. I was like, oh, I think this is what I'm supposed to do. I remember. Mm-hmm. And everything became useless.
Yeah, yeah, that was basically a decoy to get you to waste time. Yeah.
I was thinking like, oh man, are they gonna ask me to throw something on the other side of the seesaw so like I like launch into the air or something?
I thought that too.
That room was like a big throw off because you're like, mm-hmm. oh, it's all this stuff and it's useless.
Yeah, it's meant to just kind of be like, oh, what's all this? So I know a lot of like reviews. I looked at some reviews and stuff afterwards and some theories, and everyone was like, you know, when I first played this game, because this is my second time playing it, and I first played it, like, I'm not like a big horror enthusiast, you know, like, but I'm not like desensitized to horror, but I didn't really find this game classified as horror to me. Like, I was like, oh, it's creepy, but, you know, so what did you guys think? Would you guys classify this as a horror game or just like a creepy story?
Well, I think if stuff has like a really creepy setting, like that classifies it as a horror game. But I mean, for me, it felt like horror just because it brought back some of the worst nightmares I've ever had growing up. It's just giant things lumbering after me. Like it doesn't matter what it is. Like I remember one time as a kid, I had a dream that like a giant Pokemon was coming behind me, like lumbering behind me. And I loved Pokemon, but that like freaked me out. Like, it all stems from. You remember that Rugrats episode where Angelica has the nightmare of having the baby brother? Yes. And it's like this giant big boy, like,
oh, yes,
baby.
Yes.
It all stems from that. And so, like, this just reminded me of that, of just like, there's nothing you could do but slowly run away, and it's just lumbering behind you. Oh. And it's like, yeah, so it's just, it just reminded me of that.
Oh, no!
So I would classify it as horror.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was more like, at least from what I've played and then what I've watched a little bit on YouTube, it just seems like it's more of like a psychological horror type of thing.
Yeah.
Because it's like you're not quite sure if something's going to jump out at you or like what's that noise and what's these things that you hear crawling around. So, yeah.
I think it... Like, it does have some horror aspects to it. The art style was more of what pushed it into it. Because if it was more normal looking, it wouldn't really feel like horror. It has that very grotesqueness to it, especially with the chefs. Because at some point, like, I don't know if their faces are attached to them. Or not, because at some point when they're like scratching their face, it almost looks like they reach like under their skin to like scratch their face.
I'm like, is
their like face just kind of like this loose skin flap, and their actual face is something underneath it?
I think so, because at one time I caught like an angle where it's like he like lifted up his chin and scratched, and I saw his. He has, like, you could see his mouth inside his, underneath, so it's like,
They have two faces. One's just made of fat. Oh my god.
So, I think, like, just, like, there's a lot of imagery that just, like, really, like, so much so that, like, I don't think you notice it. So much so that I don't think you notice it half the time.
Yeah.
But, like, Did you guys notice, like there's a few, like, hanging bodies that it's, you're not paying attention.
Oh, yes.
They're all replaced.
Like, they're just, like, subtly, like, in the background, or, like, like, or even in some cases, like, you won't even see it unless you accidentally move the camera, and the camera will go in front of it, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Or
you have some wrapped up, and then you also have some that are just not.
Full-grown
bodies.
There's a hanging person in the very beginning of the game, actually doesn't have a head. People found it from data mining, but
But then, also, I don't know if you guys, but like the scene where you fall into like the trash room full of shoes.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like I immediately thought of like the Holocaust.
Oh yeah, I'm like, oh great, you know? We have a Holocaust scene.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, there's, like, it's just, like, it's a sea of shoes.
Yeah.
And it's, like,
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's, like, a lot of, like, psychological imagery just thrown in there.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, psychological zigzags that come at you.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, you're just trying to scramble to get out. But then again, you see these, like you said, these images. And it's like, whoa, what are we really going on? What's really going on here?
Yeah, the transition from that, though, all to what happens later in the game really jarred me, because it's like you have this Holocaust basement, and like the art style feels more Western, and like the developers are Swedish, I think.
Nordic,
and then all of a sudden you get to the part where you go outside the ship briefly and then go up, and you start seeing all these people with Japanese masks on, and you're inside this Japanese Asian palace
structure
thing, and you're like, where, how did I get from where I was previously to that?
I mean, I think that's kind of purposeful, because they want you to see the difference in between the underneath, the back part of the ship, and where the guests are coming in. I mean, that's the way, I mean, any kind of hotel or anything, or any place that has like back, like, you know, a back staff that work behind the scenes, you have dankness almost for the back staff. But then, you know, of course, the guests, what's front facing is going to look the best. And so to me, like, that was just kind of like a progression, like, you know, like elegance, you know. And so, you know, you can either go to show like elegance, you can only go so many ways. Like, you can either go European elegance, usually for people to recognize that, or go something, you know, exotic elegance.
I immediately thought of you know, like the Titanic kind of thing, just how, you know, how the Titanic had like the, you know, the pristine upper class, but then like after a certain point it was like just complete, like, just crap.
Yeah,
you know, just like industrial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is where we throw extras. But then I also, I mean, we'll probably get into this later, but I also got a lot of, especially in that last level, just I thought I was always just constantly reminded of Spirited Away.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, because it's like Spirited Away is like set like in a bathhouse kind of thing where there are a bunch of guests and.
Yeah.
It's like in an Asian setting, and there's like grotesque visitors. They're just there, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if like they took inspiration from that.
They movie. Did.
Yeah,
they did from Ghibli films.
Yeah, specifically the scene in the beginning where her parents turn into pigs. And they're chowing down on the food.
Yes.
That's what I thought of.
Yes.
I'm like, these are basically just fat people, but they're stand-ins for like the pigs from that Ghibli scene.
Yeah, they took inspiration from those, and then they took inspiration from a movie that I haven't seen, but I'm actually kind of interested in, kind of City of Children. Yeah, it's like
City of Lost Children.
No, it's called City of Children. I believe it's a foreign film because it showed the video that I got it from that showed clips of it, and it's live action, but then they also use computer, but they also manipulate faces with computer as well. So it looks very fantastical. Have you seen it, Jonathan?
I don't think I've seen it, but I've seen clips. I remember talking about it in college in film classes.
The movie is about what the video said was the movie was about how the society stole the youth from children. Like, they collected children and stole the youth from them. It has Ron Perlman in it. But they steal youth from children to keep themselves young as well.
Okay.
Keep them young from not getting old. The entire game didn't have any dialogue. And you had some grunting. Did the lady speak?
No, she just sung.
But especially like Six didn't talk, the main baddies, so everyone was just kind of like, you would hear like grunting and stuff, like supposedly there's like a when with the guests, like there are some people that speculate that that's like a song that you hear in the background, but anyways, do you feel that that helped the storytelling of the game, or do you wish that there had been some dialogue? Do you think that that would have kind of helped you to understand the story better?
I kind of wish there was something, because to me, I just didn't know what the heck was going on, and I still didn't really know what the heck was going on until I read it later.
I was gonna say the opposite. I think it helped it, because like it added to the mystery of it. I mean, I think it made it very. I mean, to me, it made it very clear from the beginning, because you wake up, you're sleeping in an old suitcase. You know, it's like, to me, it made it very clear. It's like, okay, you're escaping.
Yeah.
You know, and then as you see these grotesque monsters, it's like, okay, yes, there's a reason to be escaping. And then you learn more and more. And it's like, so I feel like Like, I don't know. I feel like if I heard like the monsters talk with each other, go like fee fa fo fum, like I'd be taken out of it.
I really wish I would have heard that now.
I think it was the way they presented it and the way, you know, visually and stuff. I think it's the right choice because I think voices would have might have taken away. I guess they decided to leave it to your imagination, which I think in this case was a good choice.
Yeah.
And if you have voice acting, then you're opening yourself up to a whole explosion of exposition where you're going to have to, if these characters can talk now, what are they going to say?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's a whole, you know, bailiwick. That they just said, okay, they made a choice. All right, let's put it in your mind. So
I also did not read the explanation on the game page for the game until like a chapter or two into the game. So I had no idea who anybody was or why I was doing this. Basically, like, if you don't have any text explanation, because, like, even if it was just, like, a text explanation kind of saying something, that I would have been happy with that.
Yeah.
People can disagree if it would have hindered it or not. But
it's definitely a gameplay preference, I think. And, well, I mean, it's a storytelling preference, I guess, more like, you know, whether you, you know, as a player, as a gamer, or as a listener to a story, if you need that kind of exposition. Some people like it without exposition. You know, they just like kind of experience, you know, they don't need questions answered. They like kind of formulating their own opinions about what's going on.
This game reminded me a lot of Inside. Have any of you played Inside?
Not yet, but I definitely want to.
Yeah, it very much reminded me of that because there's no dialogue in that, but it's just, I feel like even though there's not speaking per se, like especially in this game, there's body language.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a bunch of subtle body animations, even with like the monsters, like the janitor, like just the way he turned his head. It's like I instantly could say, like, I could instantly see that, like, oh, he's blind, but he has really good listening. And like the way he like moved his jaw while he's listening is like, oh, super creepy.
Yeah.
And like his fingers.
Mm-hmm.
What did I refer to him? Oh, yeah, I refer to him as Mr. Grabby Fingers McGee.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Even, like, the chefs for being just horribly gross blobs of fat with two faces, apparently. They, when you watched them, like, cook, like, it looked like they were actually, like, cooking. They were checking ovens. They were doing stuff, and they were... And then, like, when they saw you and they gasped, there was, like, they had that face. The chef would be, like, it reminded me of a Little Mermaid with, like, the chef is trying to get Sebastian. He's
Sebastian getting away.
Yeah. So it's, like, I mean, it still made it creepy, but it's, like, you could tell, even with, like, the lady at the very end, it's, like, the moment, like, she heard a sound, like, she went rigid, and it's, like...
Mm-hmm.
Just a bunch of like subtle body motions that even with like the six hugs the little gnome people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we haven't even talked about the gnome people.
Yeah.
But like when she like just picks them up and hugs them, and their like little feet dangle, and it's like
who nobody ever got tired of that.
I chucked one of them off the side of the level.
Well,
because I could.
Because you could.
I'm a horrible person.
I definitely agree. Even with the, like, one thing that really fascinated me is as you get towards the end and you start seeing the guests, and just how they react to, like, just...
Yeah, totally off the chart.
I just remember just like, you know, because I said like I played a second time. I didn't quite get that far this time. But, you know, just going through like the dining halls and like having these people like just like just the animations of them just like stuffing food into their face and, yeah, you know, just grabbing things and just spilling, you know, their soup everywhere. And then as soon as they see you, they go crazy. Like, especially like towards the end of like the ones like that would just like knock themselves on the floor, just throw themselves on the floor to try and catch you and like be like crawling across the floor to get you. I think one of the best, and I'm going on a rabbit trail here, but like one of the best like moments, I mean, and you know, probably like top 20 in like, you know, is like the moment when you're running. I can't think of the exact, I think it's almost towards the very end when you're running from, like, it's that long sequence where you're running from them.
And that's they just, the last, oh, yeah, and they just of keep that chapter.
They keep like, they, you know, they keep running after you. They keep getting like, there keeps getting more and more of them.
They're like a tidal
and
wave.
They're just like running, yeah, and there's like all of them like behind you, just like trying to grab you. And then like you make that final jump and they're just like reaching across, like, even though they
that
know
falling off.
I was, yeah, like, oh my,
like lemmings into the sea. They're just like falling, you know, just,
yeah,
so obsessed, yeah, with you that they're like, they have no, yeah.
Yeah, it took me several tries to get through that sequence. Yeah. But once I did, I was like, oh my gosh, like that was crazy.
Yeah, that was because you had to go down, you had to make a couple turns.
Yeah.
And then six gets hungry.
Oh my God, that was so bizarre. I mean, it was a slow progression into hell. It was like, you know, it's like, okay, the bread. Okay, oh good. Yeah, okay, you get hungry, you got to eat.
So and then the rat. Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, now we're taking a sidestep here. We're getting a little off the chart here. And then you get the rat and the gnome, and you're like, God, I hope that gnome drops the rat.
Yeah. So how did you guys feel about Six? Like, did you feel connected to her as a protagonist? Like, since you played her the entire game, or did that progression kind of into a darker path kind of keep you a little distance from you?
I mean, I felt like I sympathized with her at the beginning,
mm-hmm,
just because, I mean, you can tell you're a little kid in this, like, weird, messed up world immediately.
Yeah.
You know, and then when you very quickly then find yourself in a room with all these other kids and you realize, oh, kids are what's on the menu, you know?
Yeah.
And you're just like, huh? And then it's like, you know, when she's like hungry at first, you know, it's just like, oh, she's extremely malnourished.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So malnourished that's like she has to eat something or you die and the game ends.
Yeah.
But then it progresses, mm-hmm, more. Like I want to know exactly, like, because I haven't read a whole lot on like the development, but like what they're trying to, because it's like the theme of like gluttony, I feel like, is very key, and like especially with the guests,
mm-hmm,
but just like, you know, you start off with the bread and then you go for the meat, which the meat gets you trapped by, mm-hmm, Grabby Fingers McGee, mm-hmm, and then after that then you eat a live rat,
mm-hmm,
after that point you're like, okay, are you really that hungry?
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't have like little like snapped a rat's neck first, you got to eat it live.
Yeah.
And then I do find it kind of telling how, when, I mean, I don't know if we've said it exactly, but like she eats one of the gnome people you've been hugging throughout the entire game.
Yeah.
Like kind of by accident, like he offers her a sausage and she just goes past the sausage to eat him.
Yeah.
I don't really think that was by accident.
Well, but I mean, I do think it's telling how that happens,
mm-hmm,
only after you see all the guests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's after that sequence, after you see all these guests eating everything.
Yeah. And then, I don't understand why she didn't eat then. Like, there's sausages everywhere.
Because they're trying to eat her. She had to escape them. Go ahead, Jonathan.
From the very beginning, I was just very curious about this world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is she, like, a special kind of person in this world, or is she a normal human being and this is our world and people just deformed, or are these big giants adults, or I don't know. It's because, like, I even like was paying attention because it's like, who built the maw, you know, the ship building you're in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because it's like a lot of stuff is like big, made for these giant people.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, the ladders you climb, they're like specifically sized for her.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're like all the shoes. I mean, you could assume the shoes are, you know, kid shoes, which I'm sure most of them are, but like the person who like hung himself, like he seemed like an average like person, mm-hmm. like, yeah. you know,
yeah,
it's just, it made me like curious about this world. Like, is mm-hmm. this a fantasy world, or is this like, is this entire world just a metaphor for something I'm not getting?
Yeah.
You know, or
the creators, like I watched a few videos before we started this, and there are a few things floating around. The creators themselves, who wrote most of the game, have said on record that it's a story about the harsh realities of growing up. And I can't think of their exact words, but just that transition from going from a child into an adult and being a child in a world that's not made for you, amongst adults who are greedy, you know, that's really all that, I mean, all that I found that they've said on record about it. There are a lot of theories of like, that there's also metaphors of child, you know, of child abuse. I mean, well, we know that the children are being mm-hmm. processed, they're being eaten. That's pretty much the creators have said that's, you know, it's children that they're eating. Some even speculate that the adults are also being chopped up.
The adults are kind of being consumed by.
Just because of some early concept art of the game made it feel that way, because like it wasn't just children, it showed like large adult sized organs and things in some of the early concept art. There are some theories that Six is a child. This hasn't been like officially said by the creators, but that Six is the daughter of the lady.
I think I read the wiki and the devs apparently denied that.
And then there are I'm trying to think. But then like as far as like she's like Six is concerned, like, you know, some think that she's like special and that she's being given special treatment because she has the yellow raincoat and like she just seems different than all the other, you know, because none of the other, all the other ones are, you know, dark. They're, you know, they're not different in any way. They're all, you know, they all look the same, just shadows pretty much. But then the yellow raincoat could just be because she's the protagonist and just so we know her different from all the other ones.
And so that we don't lose her in the darkness of the entire game.
Yeah.
just talking about that and just, have you guys ever seen the short film called The Candy Shop?
No.
I'll send it to you guys after the chat, but it's a short film that was made in 2010. It stars Doug Jones, who he's the guy like who's dresses up as everything, like Guillermo del Toro. He's one of those like makeup artists who's just in mm-hmm. everything. But anyways, The Candy Shop is all about it's about this creepy like Willy Wonka kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And adults keep going into his candy shop to buy his special candy, and like the whole like twist of it is that he's stealing little girls and turning them into candy, and then men are buying the candy. It's like a whole thing is a metaphor on the child pornography ring, and the sex trade, and you know, this was based from, it's a Atlanta company that made it, and Atlanta has a bad problems with like an illegal sex trade in Atlanta.
So
that this, just talking about this instantly just evoked images of this game, just because like there's just like in that movie, like the lady is like the overseer of this mm-hmm. giant place, and she's providing all these gross, greedy mm-hmm. adult creatures with, you know, food that's children. You know, I just mm-hmm. it just hit me just now, just the parallels in between
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. No, I would like and, to. Yeah, for sure.
That adds that to the. That adds to the horror.
Yeah, yeah. And I also watched a video right before we started. Was and I had seen it before after I played it the first time. Was a comparison of, the game to the Seven Deadly Sins, and how oh. the Seven Deadly Sins are all represented in certain ways. In the game, oh. you know. In just in different characters, you know, of course you have like Vanity with the lady, Gluttony. Mm-hmm. There are a few that are a little more, just look it up on YouTube. Like it's just, you know, Little Nightmares, Seven Deadly Sins. I mean, it's not like he doesn't go too in depth.
Yeah. A bit of a stretch. Yeah.
About. Yeah. But I kind of noticed that actually it's a bit of a stretch, but I noticed it when I was playing the first time, even before seeing the video, I was like, oh wow, this is kind of like Gluttony. And then, but then I also, like what Jonathan was talking about earlier, I also, when I first played it, before looking at anything, I thought the game was like a metaphor for the Holocaust at first, mm-hmm. because of all the shoes. And, you know, but anyways, like, did you guys see anything in it that you were like, oh, I wonder if this is like metaphorical for something that may have ended up being true or no?
Oh, or, through the... I mean, for the moment you're climbing on the outside of the mall and you see people coming onto the ship,
mm-hmm.
I was like in the, like they're marching almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was immediately like, okay, they're this game is symbolizing something. Yeah. I just don't know what it is yet.
What I'm confused as, like, it seems like you're more of on this like structure metal thing in the middle of the ocean or on like mm-hmm. some sort of small island.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming from a ship onto what you're on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Like, it's kind of hard to tell what the mall is, because I took a screenshot. I'll see if I can
get it posted. It's a ship, but it has an island on top of it to look like it's just an island from the surface. But the ship itself is underwater. Like, that's where everyone is, I think.
Right. After it takes people on board, it sort of, I guess, semi-submerges. It appears to be just a lighthouse on top of an island.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when she walks upstairs, she's at the base of the lighthouse. Yeah.
And in a way, it's very... Oh, go ahead, Jonathan.
I was just wondering, I'm going to send you... If I can get my camera to work. There's a... When you're in the guest area level mm-hmm. with the geisha influence, one of the walls in the background that has like the artwork on it,
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, at first I thought it was just like the generic ocean Japanese like wall art you see in everything,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's like waves and everything. But at one point you see the mall represented in it, and it doesn't look like an island at all. It looks like a giant like spiky ball in the ocean. I'm gonna share.
There you go. There's the little lighthouse on the top.
Yeah, I think that's the island and the lighthouse on top of it.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So is that a lighthouse or a smokestack?
It looks like a lighthouse from
It's a smokestack disguised as a lighthouse.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there's another photo that has it where it looks more like the lighthouse.
Yeah. But yeah, no, like, you know, and I, you know, and it's easy to kind of like to take a look at it and just kind of see, like, you know, with these, like, I don't know how many of you have been on like a cruise ship, like a Carnival cruise or whatever. But like that's like, you know, I mean, like, people love going to, you know, they love, like, going
I get your saying.
And being, you know, and have, like, you know.
Overindulging and stuff like that.
Yeah, like, overindulging, like, you know, because any of these cruise ships you go on, like, that's the whole thing, is all-you-can-eat buffets, and you have midnight buffets, and you have food in the galleys all day long that you can go and eat on, right. And they have these spectacular, like, all-chocolate feasts, you know, deck parties, you know, that have food everywhere. And that's the whole thing. Is like, you go on there, people go there just to be like, I can eat whenever I want to and just lay around. And it's, and that's just kind of, you know, and so you, it definitely mirrors that, just like our cultures, like gluttonous, you know, how just,
yeah, like, I mean, maybe it's
a large, know. It's a large part of our, like, you know, a large part of our culture is like that.
Yeah. What, even what I... even the mall itself, I'm looking at the picture now, it's like the entrance looks like a giant mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it looks like the chef's mouth. Like they have like their weird creepy fish mouth, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
What I found interesting was, at least to me, it seemed like that in the end of the game,
mm-hmm.
Six became the thing that she was trying to escape or kind of destroy.
Certainly, yeah, some sort of transformation happened to her.
Like, because because I would assume that the geisha lady was probably consuming the souls of the fat people,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
The gluttons, who had to get fat off of the mm-hmm. children for whatever reason. And she is going through and eating all of them kind of unintentionally, but yeah.
Like a soul turducken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I, you know, like I got to the end of the game, and for those of you listening, and haven't played the game, I suggest you do, but, I was go ahead and explain it. Like at the end of the game, Six, once you escape the guests trying to eat you and grab at you, and once you escape all of that, you visit the lady. Things progress there, but you end up getting her powers, which is to steal people's souls, their essences. And so she goes through the galley where all of the guests are, and just completely just sucks their souls dry. And so the game ends with her standing pretty much at the entrance of the ship, or walking out of the ship, or towards the exit, with that power, and just it was a very kind of like dark, foreboding ending of like, oh, she just killed all these people, essentially. You know, and I remember like looking at the end of this game, and I was terror, you know, it definitely wasn't what I expected how it to end. I thought I would just escape and everything would be fine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't expect that dark turn. I liked it storytelling wise. And I also was kind of like, found myself being like, well, what would I do? Like, what, like if I wasn't magically in the same situation, like, you know, here she escaped, you know, supposedly this, you know, a place that was killing children to feed like thousands of children compared to the shoes that we saw in that one room. Thousands of children just to feed these gluttonous people. And then, you know, these people were willing to basically eat her alive when they saw her.
Right.
Probably knowing that she was a child. But they didn't care because they had been eating children for however long they'd been on the ship. And so, like, you know, you get to the end of the game and she kills everyone, and, you know, and she has this power and it's very foreboding. And it's like, well, you know, I mean, she's seen a lot. She's seen a lot, you know. So I don't know, but where I'm going with that. But
I don't know. Thinking back on it, it's like, I think, other than when she like hugs the gnome people, when, you know, mm-hmm. it's like one of the collectibles of the game, it's like,
yeah.
You can hug all the gnome people.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's like she doesn't seem to show any she doesn't seem to show any care for any of the other children there. Like, even the one that like gives you the bread.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like he gives you the bread, he sits back down, and it's like you don't acknowledge him, you just eat the bread.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like when you get captured in the cage, it's like you should have just used one of the kids in the cage as a thing to jump off of.
Yeah.
Like, you drag it into play. Like,
yeah.
Like, she's, she showed, like, no remorse. Like, she was rescuing. So, like, part of me thought, like, that, like, she was different from the other kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's not, like, brainwashed or whatever.
Right.
But then it was like she was hugging the kid, the gnome people, and I was like, okay, well, she's just trying to escape, trying to live. But it's like the moment she like ate the gnome person,
mm-hmm.
like I dropped the controller and put my hand to my mouth because I was like, no. Yeah. And then that was when that's when I was like, okay, I think, I mean, obviously the lady and all the monster people, they're obviously the villains.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm like, Six just became like an anti-hero. And so, mm-hmm. like, when she like took out the lady at the end, I was immediately like, oh yeah, I'm gonna eat her. Like, mm-hmm. I was like the moment I saw her, she's still alive, I was like, she's just okay, this is nice. But I found like how it's kind of seeded the end, like from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like she wakes up from the nightmare of the lady, like from the very beginning. The game starts with her waking up from a nightmare, thinking of the lady.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know if you ever found the, because you could, it kind of directed you towards it, but you could miss it too. The giant, like, brother eye room, the big eye surveillance camera.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I don't know if you guys noticed, I found it by accident because I thought I was supposed to progress in that room, but you're supposed to just go back out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go press the button, it will cycle through. It will show you the kids. It will show you the kitchen, and then it'll show you the gnomes, and then it'll turn off. Or no, and then it'll show you the lady, and then it'll turn off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you go back and turn it back on, it will show you the mirror that you used to defeat the lady.
Oh, like, okay.
And like that's all it will show you after the fact.
Yeah.
Hmm. Wait, if you go to what?
The big surveillance eye where you push the button, and you can like, you mean you could. Technically not even go into that room, so you could have missed it.
Oh yeah.
But like the first three times you click on it, it will show you like set things, and then it will turn itself off automatically.
Yeah.
Well, if you go back and turn it back on, it will show you a scene of the mirror sitting on the couch that you used to kill her. And so it was like, I immediately was like, oh, that's probably gonna be something important.
Yeah.
And then so when I saw it, I'm like, oh, okay, we're gonna Legend of Zelda Wind Waker it and shine the mirror light at the lady and kill her.
So like, I guess we can like. So next week we're playing the three DLCs. What would you like to see? Or is there anything that you would like to see explained in those parts of the story you'd like to see more of?
I mean, I don't know about... I mean, yes, I would like more information to the story.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I feel like there's a whole lot more here.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I kind of just want to see more of this world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's like, the fact that there's a cruise ship that like takes all these people here, it's like, this obviously isn't like I got the feeling like this wasn't like a dark place she wasn't meant to be, like, but this was normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. So it's like, I kind of want to see like how the world, like, is the world always like this?
Yeah.
Or not?
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying. So like if like you would like to see like if this ship is like an exception, like a secret thing as compared to the rest of the world, or if it's
a commonplace thing. Yeah.
Just or, how you know, you go on cruise ships, you know, expecting to eat children.
Dan, where are these children coming from? That's the other, you know, part of the expression.
That's true. That's true.
Right.
Or at least to find out, like, more of the motive behind the lady.
Yeah.
I think that would be.
That's a good thought, Frank. Like, I never thought about that. Like, where are the children coming from? I mean, there could be several. I mean, I don't think, I haven't seen, like, even any theories about that or even, like, any explanations regarding, like,
right.
Where all the children come from. It could be several things. War.
Yeah.
Mexico. Now.
She's a geisha, so that could have some sort of...
We have a whole building in Texas now with some in it, so... Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's my political statement for the day. Anything else, you guys? I mean, I would like to see... I mean, I know it doesn't have six in it. I'm interested to see, I guess... this other boy, because apparently there, I mean, I don't know if it's confirmed, but like, and it might show this in the DLCs, but like the boy that we play in the DLCs is the boy that gave her the food.
Oh, the bread.
Yeah. That's what I saw today, like in a video. So I don't
know. That'll be interesting.
Like confirmed or if it shows that in the DLCs, because I haven't played them. So I don't know. I know as much as you guys.
That would make sense to me. Just cause yeah. That's the only other character
right.
They see do anything.
Yes. That isn't eating something, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, it's kind of a view of another side of the story, apparently.
Well, yeah, from the, or even the gnome's perspective.
I'm interested. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
That'd be oh, more and nice. Don't forget, guys, there also is that nursery in, that the janitor is watching over. Well, yes, was watching is. Over before you kind of crush his arms in a door.
Yes.
And leave him to die.
Yeah.
Or I'm sure he'll pull himself together.
Yeah. Ah, get it.
Mm. Yeah. Anything else that we didn't cover in Little Nightmares that you would like to?
Just nope. the super obscure trophy.
What is in the super kitchen? Obscure trophy?
I saw it somewhere on the interwebs. If you, I forget how many ingredients, but if you drop at least three or four ingredients in the pot in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a trophy you get for like oh. helping them cook.
Oh god, oh. That must be really difficult to get.
I guess there's salt, pepper, or whatever. I don't know. Yeah, I would have. You know, I'm so freaked out trying to get through that room. I wouldn't even think of doing it. You know.
I will say, going off like achievements and stuff. When I saw like part of the game was like to break all the geisha statues, to hug all the gnomes. To light all the candles and lanterns.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was afraid this is going to be one of those games. I was afraid this was going to be one of those games that like, you have to do all of those things to unlock the true ending.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was happy to find out that, okay, there's only one ending to this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know there's one achievement I won't naturally get on my own, which is to beat the game, I think, in under an hour without dying.
Oh my
so basically,
God.
You just have to know what you're doing and sprint through the entire game,
mm-hmm.
which is insane.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
That's intense. Okay, so next week we are again. I've said this a few times already, but we're talking about the three DLCs, which are titled "The Secret of the Mall," which I guess is available in anything that you bought.
Is that the $9.99 one?
Yes.
I guess, yes.
Okay.
Sure.
Because yes. I saw other ones like a dollar, and I guess that's pieces of it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like three different. Yeah, yeah. So I would say the $9.99 one.
Okay.
Should probably get you all three of them, I would say. So it's going to be like, I think they're like an hour each. So it'll be like 3 hours of gameplay. Yeah. So you, for those listening, you can find us at thegamechat.net as well as on Instagram, Twitter, at the Game Chat. You can also find the podcasts on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play under Game Chat. So you can listen to our past chat as well as this one after tonight. Yeah, so thanks for listening, guys. And until next week, I will chat with you then. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.